Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
The podcast no one asked for, but you want it anyway. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Thank you, Timothy. Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. I'm Willie Griswold, and this is our Larry Bird episode, our 33 episode. Yeah. Larry Bird, obviously the biggest celebrity from Indiana, I would say. we're talking red carpet stuff. I was at the track over this weekend. Yeah. I saw a few Indiana celebrities. I saw Drew Powell around.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I literally ran into Drew Powell. That was really fun. So just before we get started, you guys, who's your favorite Indiana celebrity? John Mellencamp, Jim Gaffigan.
David Letterman, hands down.
Yeah, I'm literally wearing a Letterman hat right now.
We truly have some of the, I mean, here's one you guys have missed who's probably bigger than all of them.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Oh, certainly. I said that as a joke.
No, he's the...
Yeah, he's the biggest.
He's
James
probably
Dean.
The biggest of James Dean. But, I mean...
How about that was Carol Lombard? Let's not forget about Carol Lombard.
I have no idea.
Third wife of Clark Gable. The love of his life. And she passed in a
Allsman's gone
crash.
A week. She comes back and hijacks the podcast.
Do your research. Look up Carol Lombard. She's delightful. But yeah, probably Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he has to be the one. I would say Michael Jackson, James Dean... Letterman, they all reached icon status at one point.
I feel like
Larry Bird also icon status.
No, absolutely.
Status. I mean, what are you going to do?
James Dean, though, I think his legend's grown bigger than
I think
before
he
died.
I think he was a crap actor. I think he was decent looking.
He did one or two good movies, right?
Sure. I think he did one or two good movies altogether, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
Like, and then...
But he set
Dunzo.
This precedent for all these male actors. Like, you know, even James Franco had the James Dean look. So.
Yeah, then the whole 90210 thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was totally based on
I'll
James
give you. Yeah, he created a look for sure.
Yeah. And
but
an aesthetic.
I think he and another Indiana icon, Garfield, they're both from Fairmont, Indiana, I want to say.
And
there used to be a sign off the highway, and it was, I think they each have their own respective museum in the place, but it's just a picture of James Dean and Garfield. And
is it
looks
really?
Like
they're buddies.
It looks like they're old pals. Exactly. Yeah. I get a kick out of it every time.
We can't forget LeVar Burton. Sorry, but
I
actually don't know if he's from Indiana, but he did go to Ball State. So.
I was like, what? Shut up. I had no idea.
Bob Ross did all of his stuff in Muncie.
Yeah.
He has a museum up there right now.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like don't like Muncie, but it's Garfield.
It's Funcy.
The Garfield Museum, I think, is actually in Muncie.
And if we want to go college by college, the most famous athlete from Purdue, it's either Drew Brees or Jim Gaffigan. Take your pick. You want to go IU, you want to go Isaiah Thomas, you get Bobby Knight. I mean, there's a lot of Indiana celebs.
Back off on to an astronaut, one of the most famous astronauts, Neil Armstrong, went to Purdue. Although he did grow up in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Indiana connection. And here's the thing about us, which we'll get to. We kind of grab someone and they become a Hoosier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Your Peyton Mannings, your Reggie Millers.
Sure.
Jeff Saturday.
Absolutely.
Also Joyce DeWitt. She was the brunette on Three's Company.
Oh, yeah.
Also went to Ball State.
What about Dick the Bruiser? American professional wrestler.
Oh,
is
yeah,
he really?
Dick Bruiser
from Delphi, Indiana. Mm-hmm.
No, really?
Right. The Lafayette area. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Rob Lowe loves Indiana, but he's not from here. Greg Kinnear's from Indiana. He likes Indiana.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few sneaky ones that get in there, yeah.
Oh, the author of those books. You know, John
Green. John Green, yes.
Oh, yeah. He's huge. Chick has always said, he identifies as a Hoosier now. He's lived here long enough. He is 100%
absolutely.
A Hoosier.
I think my dad's the same kind of way.
Yeah.
Who knows? Actually, I don't even think my dad identifies with Earth. I think identifies with some alien spaceship.
Oh my gosh. Christy Lee is the most famous celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's
from
the only
Indiana.
Hoosier right here.
Mm-hmm. Jane Pauley.
Jane Pauley.
We're talking about journalism. I mean, come on now.
I can't wait to get...
Come on now.
She went to Warren Central.
Everyone's going to add us, like, how can you forget this person?
I know. I can already...
Florence Henderson!
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nope. Is she from around here?
Nope.
She's from Indiana.
Oh, the guy that used to sing Back Home Again.
I don't know if he was actually from Indiana.
I don't think he was from
he
Indiana.
He wasn't from here?
No, Jim Nabors.
Well, that's really...
I found out the hard way.
That he would sing that song. But again, we kind of adopt people and they embrace it.
That's what makes us so wonderful.
And here's an unpopular opinion. I think that Back Home Again in Indiana at the race should be replaced with Going Back to Indiana by the Jackson 5, because that song rules. It gets the party started. Everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
I think that would make it a real part.
But then you get the Michael Jackson bummer aspect of things.
Oh, sure.
Nah, yeah.
Let's not touch tradition.
Okay, well, real quick, before we get any further, I want to say, if you like the episode, if you like this podcast, we love doing it. Give us a rating, a review, wherever you listen to us. We really appreciate it. But before we get into our first piece on this, our 33rd episode, our Larry Bird episode, we're going to play you a bit. It is a frequent musical guest that has been here throughout the years.
Time now for the guy who would rather write songs than have sex.
I got trying to write some music for that damn clown Johnny Cooper Mellon team. Little Blue House, no, that ain't no good. He won't like that. No, that ain't. Little Green, no. How about White? No.
Roscoe, come to bed, baby.
In a minute, I'm working here. Little Red Houses.
Come on, honey. I've got a brand new pink negligee to show you.
Pink! Little pink! You think Johnny Cooper'd like that, little pink houses?
Yeah, I like it. Come on, now come to bed.
Hang on, I got another song idea. Something like CKXYUSA. You think Johnny Cooper'd like that?
Well, how about a little CK in the USA?
No, they'd never play that on the damn radio.
I'm not talking about the radio, honey. I'm talking about me and you together tonight, you know, like a couple.
Oh, yeah, a couple. That reminds me of other song I've been working on for that Johnny Cooper. Little ditty about John and Diane. No, he'll never sing his own name. Bill's not... No, you know that clown stole about half my songs, Mom.
Fine, forget it. I'm going to bed. Alone. You're on your own tonight.
That's it. On my own, a little dippy about Jack and Diane. I need... Hey, can you give me some coffee?
This has been the guy who would rather write songs than have sex.
Johnny Cooper, a real legend. So we were all looking around halfway through that. Jesse had her headphones up going, is that Dean? Is that Dean?
He's and a legend.
From my also an Indiana legend, of course. But from my understanding, Jason, that was John Cougar Mellencamp?
Yes, Johnny Cooper. All these bits have the actual celebrity in them today.
Okay, oh, fantastic.
That's the whole thing. We're rolling out the red carpet, but they are actually in the bit. And now this one here is John Mellencamp. But if you recall, many years ago, he would call into the show when you were quite young, Willie.
He would call in
as Roscoe Mellencamp.
Who was like John Mellencamp's cousin. Songwriter. Okay.
Yeah. He claimed everything. And basically, it was this wild Zen thing of him talking crap about himself.
Yeah.
As his cousin through himself.
Right. And then there was a time where he came up here for a whole week and sat in just for fun. And I think that's when he did this.
I think it started then. Yes. And he called in a few times. And this bit originated in this studio in the last 15 years.
Oh, really?
So it was probably 10 years ago.
The last time.
Last time he was here smoking.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only other person that has ever smoked in here other than Bob. And I don't even know if Bob has ever smoked in here. Or maybe Bob smoked when he smoked.
No. There's a whole story with that, too.
Oh, okay.
But when we open this up, Bob had a little office back there next to Mike, Mark, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you for your feedback on Mark's episode. It was great.
Yes.
And he, the first couple of days, he tried to smoke with the door closed. And
Not so much.
Somebody kind of nixed it, said, yeah, you probably don't want to do that. Yeah. But so he just went outside. No biggie. It was no biggie.
No. Mm-hmm.
But
John Mellencamp came in here and just fired one up.
Oh,
and then another.
Well, he's been in here since Josh was here, I think.
Oh, he had? Ah.
Yeah, because he went and did a tour in the back, and because he has a painting back there in the hallway on the in the Q95
that
side.
That is huge.
And he wrote
it's almost life size.
And he ended up going and writing a story about who it was, which was one of his friends.
That's childhood friend.
He did that?
He did that, yes.
So then he marked Oliver's painting. He ruined it with his own
writing. It's actually kind of weird because our building, because it's mostly Bob and Tom people in this huge building now, and there's not many people in the rest of the building, and I'll literally go for a walk during the day.
Is this by Lenny's old office?
Yes.
So that's not Chris Wheat?
No.
I thought that was a painting of Chris Wheat.
No, that's a Mellencamp original. That's a Cougar original.
I've always thought, you know what? When we take off, I'm stealing that. But I'm not now because obviously somebody else has dibs on it. That's much more important.
Did you guys get him to call in before he dropped Cougar?
No. Cougar was
late. Early 90s?
No, that was 80s. Was early 80s.
Yeah. But he dropped it in the early...
When he switched...
He dropped it probably late 80s.
I don't know if it was when he switched record labels or that was a part of the agreement for the next record was I'm not using it. Because he never liked that. He wasn't on board with Cougar from the get-go.
Sure.
Yeah.
He just got it given to him.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking about going with Jess Cougar Hooker. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Jess Cougar Hooker?
The older you get, that kind of fits.
You don't need my help to tell you why Jess Cougar Hooker doesn't work, right?
Yeah, because it's actually the exact opposite. What do you call it? Never mind. You know what? Keep going. Hurry.
I got it, and I think we can move on together. Okay. Everybody, we're going to come together as a group, move on. Growing up, did you guys... Like my school, we learned American Sign Language, and we did it to "Your life is now."
No, that's very cool.
And I was talking to my buddy about it. Tim, he's my pal. He lives in LA now. He's a really funny guy, a writer and screenwriter. And he goes, "Yeah, the first thing I learned when I moved out of Indiana is that apparently John Mellencamp isn't the biggest celebrity on the face of the earth."
Yeah.
Because growing up, I thought that he was this just massive icon, super big celebrity.
But apparently he was too.
So I always thought that. But I guess once you leave the state, he is a little bit less. I mean, he's still.
Obviously.
He's still John Mellencamp. But I think that growing up, we talk about him a little more.
Probably because I know every album. Like, I remember the first album that he had that came out on a CD.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to get this. I mean, I had all of them. And we grew up on a lake near Bloomington, not Monroe, but Lake Lemon. And I mean, his voice is the soundtrack of my childhood summers on the lake. Like, that's all we played. Mm-hmm. Well, that and Henry Lee Summer, of course.
Yeah. Well, the thing that made him so Indiana was he never left Indiana.
Yeah.
He didn't move to Nashville. He didn't move to L.A. Mm-mm. He was not that guy.
I don't think I ever realized that.
He just built
that.
A bigger house in Bloomington, basically.
I think that's what I would do if I would just build a bigger house here. I love it here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, not here. Like, not with you guys, but... Like,
that was almost so nice. You were sincere to the state, but not to your pals.
Nope.
The only Mellencamp story I have to share, of course, is my experience with his music was the 90s on the school bus when Wild Nights came out.
Ooh.
And I would use my Power Rangers that morphed when you hit the belt and they'd flip the faces so they had the mask on. Then you could actually see their face like Kimberly. Anyway, I'd make them all dance to it.
That's nice.
And it was totally choreographed.
Oh, nice.
That's
Bus
good.
31, really, Mays Elementary.
Really weird.
Nice.
Put Mellencamp on the map. There you go. Sorry. I brought this to a halt.
No, it was okay.
You can edit that out, Jason.
No, it was you doing little plays with your Power Rangers is such a...
It was so great. Yeah. Kimberly's like, Tommy! And it'd be a whole thing.
He is one of those guys that I bet other people outside of Indiana don't realize how many big hits he does have.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
my gosh. If you played him back-to-back, you know, it's kind of like a Tom Petty thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, shoot, yeah. We're 12 songs in, and here's another one.
I'm going to do a Mellencamp playlist now that we're talking about
this. There's probably one out there already.
I will make my own.
I love making my own. I would say probably 3-4 songs in. You throw in Jack and Diane. As soon as people hear that, people are on the dance floor ready to move.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
How would you do that noise? I would go do do do.
I don't know. Willie's got a music background.
Am I not good at that? I was going to say that was really good.
You thinking that my musical background, which is not that great of a background, contributed to don't. Get it out.
No, this is what I... No, wait. Let me finish that thought. Willie has a musical background, and whenever he makes a musical noise with his mouth, I'm always like, that's not what I would have done at all, Willie.
Right?
Every time.
Mm-hmm. I was just making a choice.
No, but it was good. I was like, I'm impressed. How do you guys do this? It's like the Arrested Development chicken. Toodaloo.
Oh, yeah.
Have any of you
Yeah. We were arguing about Bach versus Bach the other day, and Christy put a, like a thing up on her Twitter, and I was like, I can say that this is an Arrested Development thing, but I think it's just going to take too long to talk about it. Well, this next bit, this is easily one of the most famous athletes of our time.
Once again, the Bob and Tom Show presents America's most in-depth interview show, Three Questions With, the show where we sit down with the hottest personalities in the news today.
Welcome to Three Questions With. Today, we have one of the most talented players in NFL history, quarterback Peyton Manning. Thank you for joining us today, sir. Wow, you're a tall guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
Really?
Yeah, really.
This has been...
Whoa, wait a minute. Don't you want to ask me about the Colts or about this record I might break?
Hey, sorry, Motor Mouth. The show's over. This is called Three Questions, not Peyton blabs on and on.
I mean, reporters all over the place are bugging me about this NFL record, so I just figured you might want to...
Look, Yappy McYapperson, we're out of time.
This has been Three Questions With.
There you go.
Catch Three Questions With next week when we talk to Ron Artest and Ben Wallace.
Yappy McYapperson.
So that's very funny. I want to do the little carbon dating thing I like to do. Mm-hmm. If we're talking to Peyton, we know it's an Indy before 2011. And if we do the Ben Wallace Ron Artest joke, this has to be right after the Malice in the Palace, right? Is that the reference there?
It's got
to
be.
2004, right?
So that is a little product of his time. What a great bit.
It absolutely had to be about 04 because we came up here in 05. And yeah. I know that happened in the back.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I have this fine line that I can separate when things happen.
Yeah, you're much better at that than pretty much everybody around here. Because
it's a weird thing.
If you ask any of the people that are in this room every day how long we've been up here, they'll be like, I don't know, like 5-6 years.
Chick just a couple weeks ago said, yeah, we were in the back studio longer than we were up here. I'm like, you've been in this one 6 years more than that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of wacky.
Yeah, I have, so there's... my ex-in-laws never displayed a picture of me until I had my picture taken with Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl trophy here. And then it was an 8x10 as soon as you walked in the house.
We know that, like, this is our beloved Jess. Look at her with Peyton in the Super Bowl trophy. She knows Peyton.
Yeah.
Aww. Is the picture still up and they just put somebody else's head over yours?
Yeah, his second wife.
Oh, no, I was joking. No. That's fun. But yeah, that's a really funny bit. Peyton Manning obviously is like famous now for having one of the best athletes hosting SNL.
That was such, oh my gosh.
His opening monologue was great. They did that bit where it's him reaching out to children and he's just nailing them with the football.
Oh, God, that was so good.
And he came in here within months of that and kind of told us a few of the things, how light that football was and he could barely throw it.
Right.
Because obviously he didn't want to hurt the kids, but he wanted to really give it to them too. You know?
He's one of those athletes that, like, clearly not an actor, but a good personality, lots of fun to work with, and it just made him fun to be in here every time. It was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Well, we used to have what was the little thing that Matt and I did in the laugh hole? And we would have celebrities do little bits of quick, and we would add some laughter underneath it. And he did, and we have the audio somewhere of that, of him doing a little shtick that we didn't tell him what joke to do.
Right. You were an opener, so we would get random people to do opens, but then we would have real guest comedians do a little bit, and we would put it up on the website.
Honestly, those were some of my favorite moments, because Matt and I would figure out terrible taglines.
Mm-hmm. Punchlines.
Just
anything.
A punchline. Yes, it's all just some punchline. So that's why I told him not to talk to the rooster.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's Willie Griswold. Yeah. I mean, that's all it was. Something terrible.
Yeah. No, sure. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was Peyton the first athlete to be in comedic commercials? Because remember when he was like cheering people on? I forget what it was even for. And he's like, cut that meat.
Cut that meat. It was like a MasterCard or Visa.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
I feel like the credit card companies kind of grabbed onto that, because isn't it a credit card company where it's Shaq and Spike and
Shaq's in a lot of commercials.
The Samuel Jackson.
American Express.
Capital One.
And then State Farm has the great commercials with Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and they're pretty funny in those too.
Nationwide, is that Peyton with the country singer?
Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley, yeah.
Sure.
They're buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
If you ever wonder why your insurance premiums are so high, it's because there's an insurance commercial on like everywhere right now. Right.
And they've got to pay for Peyton Manning's trailer and all the refreshments he needs.
Oh, the Capital One thing with Larry Bird, Samuel Jackson, Jim Nance.
Oh, yeah.
All of those guys were in one commercial. I'm like, dear Lord, how much did this thing cost?
Yeah. And it is cool, though. It is cool just to see those guys who you know from one thing and to see, like, oh, they're cool enough to be funny. They're cool enough to break down their ego and to not look like tough guys. Because athletes, they have to be so calculated constantly.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see people like that be like, ah, we're going to do a silly bit today.
Or they're just willing to endorse a giant check.
Yeah.
Well, would you say Michael Jordan did some comedic stuff?
With the Hanes?
Back in the 90s,
He did the Hanes commercials.
So there's an athlete maybe doing something a little bit
funny
fun.
Though, or is he kind of just reacting to other people being funny? Like, oh man, there's no tag.
Well, the ones with Spike Lee.
Yeah.
They had a little fun some of those.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, not a commercial, but Space Jam. Oh, hilarious in Space Jam. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill Murray, he got a lot of assists in that movie, I would say. But Michael Jordan gets a lot of dugs there.
Yeah.
Larry's not white. Larry is clear.
Yeah.
My favorite line.
Okay, so this next bit, it's got a guy who was a guest on Bob and Tom even before he was super famous.
It's time now for the guy who would rather shoot three-pointers than have sex.
Yes. 10 in a row. I'm going to drain another 10. Watch this.
Oh, Reggie, you are so good. What do you say you put that ball down? Let's go hit the showers together.
Sure. In a minute, baby. I'm going to shoot a few more three-pointers. Practice makes perfect.
Your form is perfect already. Come on, let's go play a little one-on-one.
No, I don't want to play a game. I want to sink some more baskets. Swoosh. I am on fire.
Sweetie, I'm on fire, too. Come on, try a little man-on-woman defense.
Nah, coach says we're going to play zone. Boom, baby. Back up another one.
That's it. Forget it. You can go dribble your life away. I'm out of here. Have fun playing your little game.
Swoosh. Yes.
This has been the guy who would rather shoot three-pointers than have sex.
This is cool because the last two bits we played, those guys were my literal heroes.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, I like football because of Peyton Manning, and I like basketball because of Reggie Miller.
Absolutely. Sports Illustrated for kids, I used to always draw Reggie Miller and, you know, like Patrick Ewing and all those guys. But Reggie Miller, love, 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 love. He could do no wrong. So glad he was on our side because probably wouldn't have liked him. But I love him. He's so funny. He was the first guy. So when I worked at the front desk and I started working here in 2010, Jimbo gave me the heads up Reggie Miller is coming in for his 30 for 30 documentary.
That was exactly when he recorded this.
And winning time.
He, I was like, oh, cool. And Jim, I was like, that's awesome. And Jimbo's just like, hey, just a heads up. And again, Jimbo is the greatest. So he knew I was a fan. I think he could have been waiting for Reggie in the lobby, but he didn't. So when Reggie did show up and it was a little bit before 8:30, all I could say was, I assume you're Reggie. And he goes, you assume correctly. I was like, I'll let Jimbo know. And then he's just, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was like, Reggie's here. And then, you know, he comes out, oh, hi. And And then I just watched him walk away. And then after the fact, Jimbo goes, he would have took a photo if he wanted. I go, why didn't you tell me before? But that's all I could say. I assume you're Reggie. Ugh.
He's the coolest.
So he got huge in like 94, 95, right? You know, the 8.9, you know, what is it, 9 points in 8.9 seconds thing.
And the then, anniversary of that was yesterday, by the way.
I can watch that over and over again. Like, it still just, like, gives me goosebumps.
And then we got to the finals in 2000. So those mid to late 90s were great. Well, I was an intern in 95.
Yeah.
And one of my first things I got to do was Reggie had a book out. And he had a signing, and it was a Q95 Bob and Tom flagship event.
Yeah.
And Meredith, it was basically me and Meredith.
Yeah.
And we got to kind of talk to Reggie a bit. And, I mean, he was up there.
Yeah.
So, and so cool. He was always such a cool guy. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him a little bit here when he was here probably 2010 when Jess was talking. Because I think Ray Allen was about to cross his, because Reggie had the three-point record. And he goes, oh, Ray's going to overtake it. And good for him. Yada, yada. Little did they know, guy by the name of Steph Curry was coming.
Right.
Because he's going to splatter that record.
Well, and now everyone, if you watch NBA, people talk about the Steph Curry effect, where everyone's a shooter now. And you talk to Steph Curry, who was his biggest influence? Reggie Miller.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, or his dad, Del Curry. Obviously,
sure, yeah, Del's good.
Well, you know.
But Reggie was the guy taking shots, and it's always been so cool. I don't know. I have always worshipped Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. I almost got a 31 tattoo. I'm glad I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. One of the coolest moments I've ever felt was I had to get into the ball shed at camp, and I'm not going to say what it was because it's still the same. I was there on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still the same code.
Okay.
But I was a counselor in training, and a counselor had to tell me what the ball shed number was in front of a bunch of kids.
Right.
And so we said, like, Larry Bird, Reggie Miller. And I understood what he meant, and it was the coolest I have ever felt. Yeah. I was like, oh, it was sports reference. I get it. No big deal. Yeah. It will. Coming through. But yeah, we're going to keep with the basketball theme. Here is our next basketball bit.
Dick Vitale. You've heard him call games in his own unique style. Now, Bob and Tom Products is proud to present the Dick Vitale Alarm Clock.
Shake and bake. It's time to wake. I don't mean maybe. It's time to get up, baby. Chuck and jive. It's almost five. Hey, come on now. Get the sleep out of your eyes. Come on now. Wake up. You're a Rolls Racer.
The Dick Vitale Alarm Clock offers a single, double, or triple overtime snooze setting. Hear Dickie V gently remind you it's time to start the new day.
The last 5 minutes, you show what you're made of, baby. Hey, come on now. Get out of bed. Come on now. You're the 3S man. You're super scintillating sensational.
And if you're a heavy sleeper, don't worry. The Dick Vitale Alarm Clock lets you sleep with one eye open. His.
Hey, baby.
The Dick Vitale Alarm Clock. The Vitalian Stallion sounds revelry with such classics as...
Hey, come on, sleepyhead. You're a BTP-er. Herky jerky, it's time for worky. 2, 4, 6, 8. Get up now or you're going to be late. Rise and shine, it's close to 9. This ain't no jack. Roll out of the sock. Hey, come on now, sleepyhead. Wake up. You're a space eater, baby. Hey, come on now. Get out of bed. I'm going to warm up the bus, baby. This baby's over. Come on now. Get out of bed.
Oh, and it's unbreakable.
Hey, come on. Get up. Get up. Come on now. Get up
the Dick Vitale Alarm Clock.
Wake up. You're awesome, baby.
Baby, Dickie V, didn't we, do you guys remember, did somebody make that for us? I think like a toy company made us a version, like a prototype of the Dickie V alarm clock.
I feel like that is accurate. I don't recall exactly, but I remember seeing something around here years ago. It's been a while, but yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't even operable. Maybe it was just some artist put it together for us, but it looked like a real toy or a real alarm clock you would buy in the store, because I remember seeing that around. That is such a weird, specific bit.
Well, and he was on the show years ago, like every week during college basketball. He would call in. So he was very familiar with us, and he would talk about the broken egg or something. Like, he would always pump up this one little restaurant down there. Yeah, yeah. He would say he was headed off to breakfast there.
Oh,
and I'm like, they paid you to do that, Dickie.
Absolutely.
I'm certain of it.
He shows up to the restaurant. He's wearing a Bob and Tom hat. He's just always promoting for somebody.
Well, he was on a recent Geico commercial.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
During the tournament, yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing him.
Well, and then as we're talking about icon, he is an icon of college basketball. I mean, sports broadcasting in general, but man, it's... When I would like tell people like at college, being like, yeah, we did like, there was like a Bob and Tom, Dick Vitale, and they were just like, what does your dad do? Like that, that's a big guy.
He transcends 4 or 5 decades, I would think, of people hearing him on. And obviously, he was a coach years and years ago, but he's one of those guys that got out and found his niche, you know, behind the mic.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for him. Which, by the way, can we go back to Reggie real quick? We didn't talk about the Wendy's commercial.
Yeah, and we also didn't talk about how great of an announcer he is on NBA on TNT.
And he's a great announcer.
And a bicyclist.
Yes.
Oh, he's lots of fun to watch on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
And his
he
kids,
is.
Yeah.
I remember, and sorry, Dick, but we're going back to Reggie. Was it like a MTV Cribs? I think they did one of Reggie. And
really?
I remember him being outside on his driveway playing ping pong, one of my favorite sports.
Uh-huh.
And he was a madman.
Yeah.
I loved him. Like, I want to play Reggie.
At guys?
Yeah, ping pong. Yeah, I think so.
He can do no wrong. He's the greatest at everything.
He's
I love Reggie Miller.
Can we dig the ping pong table out from underneath all the unused furniture?
The answer? No. That room back there with the ping pong, you can't even see the ping pong
Tom
table.
Tom gets so upset about what a fire hazard it is. He gets so upset.
What's going to... What's going to start on fire? Nothing's plugged in.
I don't. You,
nothing.
I don't.
Should we not segue into fire hazard after talking about Reggie Miller's MTV Cribs house?
Also, talking about people smoking in this building.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of fire hazards we're talking about today. Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
And then the other little Indiana connection is Megan Gailey, who was like a family friend of mine and a comedian. She got engaged in front of the Reggie Miller, what's it called?
Painting?
The big painting?
The mural?
The mural? Of a building, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like she like tagged him in it.
That's funny.
And then he responded. Yeah, he's the greatest.
That
yeah.
thing is gorgeous. Is it four stories high, maybe?
I think mm-hmm. it is, yeah.
And it is perfect.
Yeah.
Just his shot, just everything about it.
We have
perfect.
A lot of beautiful murals here mm-hmm. in Indianapolis that are
perfect. Vonnegut.
I'm not some nerd. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's not as good as the Vonnegut mural.
Because of that. Wendell Wilkie mural in Rush County. It's not to just or that one. I didn't even think about this. The Duke Tomato song, R-E-G.
Yep.
Oh,
and the Boom Baby thing.
That was so big. And then when Reggie Wayne and with the Colts happened, it's like, oh, great, we get to reuse it.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. This is a little bit off-brand or off-topic, but I always wanted to go as Wayne Brady for Halloween, and it's me wearing a Reggie Wayne jersey and my friend wearing a Tom Brady jersey.
That works.
So we're Wayne Brady. Yeah, it's not great. It's
what
not
do they
a great
call
thing.
I appreciate it.
It's like wordplay, kind
or like,
of.
No, it's
a
like
mashup.
A, like a before and after. Like you say, like it's, have you ever seen that where they have those costume parties that are like a before and after? Like you would do like Wayne Brady. I don't know.
Wayne Brady Bunch.
Yes,
is that
what
you're
doing? Yeah. So okay. There's a before and an after. So there's like one word that it shares.
Chain word or chain connection?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Or even Tom Brady Bunch.
Yeah, Tom Brady Bunch like that. Yeah. And so your costume has to incorporate those two things that are very opposite.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have no idea what that's called, but.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I brought it up.
No, it's because I interjected and then you interjected, and I'm pretty sure that's a two lefts make a right kind of thing.
All right.
I don't
know. So like Reggie Wayne night.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And you're dressed as Newman with a Reggie Wayne shirt.
So fun. Yeah. Yes, something exactly. That kind of thing? Exactly. Okay.
Reggie Miller Light. Miller time.
There you go.
Yes.
It's always
Reggie
Miller,
High Life magazine. Can we go too far? Who knows?
I'm going to have that kind of Halloween party this year. That'll be fun. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. I love it.
No, that's an invitation that has rules on it.
Yeah, if people are like, I'm not going to that.
I don't want to go to any party where there's examples on the invitation.
Then don't come.
Okay, I'm not trying to be, but I'm just saying. Let's just say it's a party. Everybody have fun.
Chicken I think it
Little
would be
Wayne.
Fun.
To have a theme.
Listen, you just show up and do what you want, Willie.
Okay, cool.
No, you don't get to come in.
No, I want to come.
She's at the door for everyone going, now what are you? Explain it. Look, here's the example.
Yes.
You would love to kick somebody out of a theme party. I mean, you would just love that.
Yeah, you're not going to respect. It just hit me.
Uh-oh.
Did we just miss something last month?
Saturday? No, it's actually this month.
It's this month. Why do I always think May?
Okay, I don't know, but it's all it's right. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, I'll be 40 at the end of June.
June, okay.
Yeah.
Man, it seemed like a May birthday to me for some reason. I feel like we missed it.
No, we didn't miss it. Okay. I had a sobriety date on Saturday, which was cool. So.
Okay, well, don't be boring, Jim. It's the rudest thing I could say. I'm so sorry.
I thought you were going to say, oh, you won't miss it, is what I was expecting.
No,
you'll know all about it.
No, that's a big red flag for me. Women and like, oh, it's my birthday month.
But
it's my birthday week.
But is he not going to throw a fit about it, you know?
If he does, I will punch him in the throat.
Well, prepare to punch him.
He's trying to plan things.
Okay, well, we're going to plan a lot of things while we play our next bits. This is a true rarity from a one-time guest.
Time now for the guy who would rather cook than have sex.
Let's see. A little pinch of salt here.
Oh, Wolfgang, come here and pinch me a little.
Yeah, just a minute, sweetie. I'm whipping up a delicious snack for us.
Come on, baby, let me be your snack.
Okay, I need 2 cups of sugar.
Come on, sugar. Check out these D cups.
Oh, thank you. You reminded me I needed to add a little milk.
Would you hurry up and cook that stuff so we can do some cooking in the bedroom?
Cook? You don't cook this. You chill it slowly and serve it with jelly on the side.
You're going to need petroleum jelly, and you're going to have to serve yourself. I'm out of here.
Petroleum jelly? Disgusting. I'm imagining a delicate mint jelly to offset the exciting explosion of flavors.
This has been the guy who would rather cook than have sex.
Gosh, Wolfie, Wolfgang Puck. I mean, that is a real, like, that, he is a culinary icon on the show.
Right.
And he obviously had no clue what that was going to be, right?
No.
Well, maybe.
Maybe a little, but.
It's so easy, it looks like, to put these celebrities in the, they'd rather be doing what they're doing than have sex.
Yeah, I've said this is the third one we played, and that's where Dean kind of throws in the celebs at times.
Yeah,
but this one, I don't know, the other ones, I figure Reggie kind of gets it, and who's John Mellencamp, he kind of got it, but I don't know, this one's like, Dean's like, just read these.
Yeah, I believe that.
I don't know, I mean, Wolfgang.
He's funny.
He's a playa?
He's funny. Yeah. I'm trying to, I want to say a word that his last name rhymes with. It's like the Wolfgang Puck, you know, he's going to, that kind of thing. Like, he's a horny guy. Gosh, that was even so much worse. No, I mean, he's like, I feel like if you're in a field and you're that successful for so long, you have to get some sort of weird sexual proclivities, you know? You got to be sort of a weirdo.
You are your father's son. Good God, Willie.
Oh, my.
So do you think there's chef groupies out there? I mean, I would say they're puck bunnies, but that's hockey.
Oh,
no,
but just like, you know, the Guy Fieri's and your Bobby Flay's, like, are there people out there that are like, oh, I want to sleep with the chef, please?
I mean, there has to be, but I'm going to say Guy Fieri is probably the most ethically moral person there is in the face of the earth. I don't think he would ever do anything wrong to anyone. I love Guy Fieri so much.
I do too.
And we're not going to slander Guy Fieri on this podcast.
No. Triple G is on all the time at the house, like a little too much.
Has anyone been to Chicken Guy?
No, but we've talked about it.
Disney? It is the best chicken.
Really?
And with the best sauces.
Really?
It's incredible. I wish how those are not everywhere, I don't know.
Yes. So you're a groupie for those.
I'm a foodie.
Have you guys, he was on CBS Sunday Morning. They did a thing about everything that he has done for the restaurant industry during COVID.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
And he just like, it was, like, I have goosebumps right now. I just love him so much.
Yeah, so do I.
And I just want to cry because it's just...
There was an era. There was an era there where people were trying to make fun of him.
They wanted to
because he got so big, kind of
and
thing.
And he looks like
everywhere.
A caricature.
He looks like a caricature. And then it was like, no, this guy's too good.
He's too good.
We can't make fun
He's
of
too
him.
Too good. Mm-hmm.
If you get a minute, there is a bit by a comedian. His name is Shane Torres. It hit it on Conan, I think, 5 years ago. It's my favorite late night set of the last decade. And it's just about how much he loves Guy Fieri. And there's just like a million examples about how good Guy Fieri is. It's great. It cheers me up. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And Shane's been on the show. He's a very funny guy. Guy Fieri on the race at the race on Sunday. I was doing these little bits, and I had two different jokes that mentioned Guy Fieri. And I was like, "Do I have to cut these? Can I only do one?" I kept them both. They did great.
Do you want to walk through that a little bit? What was that like for you?
At the race?
Doing live radio out
and
there.
You've never,
with the people
you hadn't been there since you were 11 years old.
Yeah, I hadn't been there since I was a little kid. I went with my buddy Mike, and I went with his family, and they would go every year, and like everyone got to, like, you know, you cut out all the cars out of the paper, and everybody picks a car, and mine didn't get drawn or anything. Thing. There was a guy with a John Dillinger tattoo in front of us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then I told my dad about it later, and he was like, "John Dillinger is a criminal, and he should not be glorified."
It's true.
So funny. But I didn't have that much fun when I was a kid. Like, I had fun, but you're a kid, you can't really get
it's
into
different,
it.
It's different, yeah.
And this, like, I woke up at 5 a.m., left my house at 6, and then I went in there, and I did the first call right at 7. A marching band walked past me during the call, so I was, like, sprinting away. But as soon as I did it, I was like, well, thank goodness for the podcast, because in my head, now... This is the Spike Lee bit, and I'm Chick, and I'm running in the airport.
There you go, buddy.
This isn't good, and I'm going to be out of breath, but I'm going to turn this into something fun.
Right.
And we all had fun, and then I linked up with the fellas, and we talked to some drunk fans, and it was good because I was also a drunk fan. You know, we were all out there together. Yeah, and it was just a blast.
Was that your first live remote call?
First live remote ever, and I
nailed it, man.
I had so much fun.
You did so well.
I couldn't have gone better. It could have gone better. Some of the people we talked to weren't very funny.
Yeah, but you saved it every time. You really did well.
No, everybody was very funny. I was just trying to be a jerk and blame people that had nothing to do with it.
Well, if I could have a moment from here, I was here Sunday morning, and everybody was so proud of you.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yes, like off mic. Everybody was so proud. I know, but everybody was really proud of you, and you just brought that fan aspect so well, and like I'm just excited. This is like a proud auntie moment.
Well,
here.
Thank you.
That you got the media experience to go in early to the track, which as a Hoosier Indy 500, you go into the track before sunrise. Like
it's
that'll give you goosebumps.
It's the greatest.
You see the pagoda all lit up. It's just amazing.
Having coffee out front. Yep. It was really really cool.
Yeah.
And then these guys were playing. this one guy was like kind of drunk and funny, but he didn't want to talk to us because mm-hmm. he was like, I can't get fired from my job or whatever. And then I found this group of hooligans playing dice on the street. Maybe they had dollars on the ground. And I was like, these are my fellas.
Welcome to the West Side.
And I was like, all right, you guys are coming with me. And there was this, these just geniuses, just a group of the smartest people I've ever met. They're all from Michigan State, go Spartans. And they say they come down every year for the race. And it was, yeah, it was an absolute blast. The guy said, he said, 2 years ago I was at the race and somebody was down here and they had me calling into the Bob and Tom show. And he goes, and then I said a word I wasn't allowed to say and they ripped the microphone away from me.
Yeah.
And then I looked at like Eddie and Mark and I was like, hey, can we still have this guy on? And they were like, I don't care. And I was like, I don't care. And I was like, all right, cool. You're doing it. Don't say
So I overheard Tom telling you how great you did, but it was one of these, well, you did a great job. Let's back off on the beers next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't like, I was being, the only time I had a drink was whenever I would go talk to someone to see if they wanted to be on air, I would just hold a beer.
Yeah.
Because I felt like that was a little more approachable than being like, hey, stranger walking up to you alone
yeah.
and saying, hey, you having fun at the race today?
Yeah. Right.
So instead I came over and I go, look, we're having fun together. And then, yeah, it was a real, real good time.
Yeah. Next time just shotgun a beer with everyone you talk to. Like, look, let's get comfortable together.
I will wait until after the broadcast to begin shotgunning. So I surely will. I surely will shotgun.
So a not so funny story is that the last time I was at the track, I did what you did. I went with Mark
yeah.
and did that. And that's why my sobriety day was Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the last time I drank was at the race. Like it was so bad. But I was walking around the snake pit that we got to do that. So you'll get to do that next year, hopefully, fingers crossed. And Tom was like, hey, you were down there by yourself. I don't know if that's safe. Like, maybe we don't send you next time. But the funnest part of that was I was walking through and I hear this voice and I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. And I walked up on him and all five of his sons.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they were in the snake pit.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of them had some throwback Q95 shirts on.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's I got great. A special vintage Q shirt off eBay that
yeah,
I wore
I saw
and
that.
I got a lot of compliments on it. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday I was getting a beer with a pal and a kid, like an 18-year-old kid in a Planet Bob and Tom shirt.
Shut up.
Walked in. He was probably like 21.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone looks so young now because I'm getting older. like he was one of those kids, you know, we have the shaggy hair in the front, like the bangs, like the Bieber thing, but it's like textured, that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. I'm familiar.
The TikTok kids. I hate them all. They got the big things going for them.
Max Hooker.
And he has that? Oh, yes. I don't hate Max. No. I just hate that because I wish that I could do that because I'm balding now. It's going back a little. And when I was young, you had to pull your hair back to be cool.
Right.
And now they all got to hide their bald spots. Mm-hmm. Not on my watch, kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he was wearing a Planet Bob.
That's fun.
What is wrong with me?
Which came out before he was born.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then part of me, the person I was with, I was just like, hey, like they're wearing like a Planet. And they're like, I mean, like, do you want to take a picture of it? What are you going to do? Like, are you so flattered right now? Relax. Like, calm down.
Though.
I thought it was cool.
I think it's cool.
Alsman, you've been at the red carpet for the Indy 500, right?
Last year, 2019? Did 2020 happen?
No.
Nothing happened.
No.
2019, it was crazy. Last minute, got to go on the red carpet to ask questions to celebrities. Matt Damon and Christian Bale were there, and they did not take questions from interviewers. So
yeah.
It was cool to see them take selfies with everyone.
They were there doing press for that Ford Ferrari movie.
Yeah.
Right?
But there was a lot of great people there. Oh, my gosh. Matt Eisman? Is that correct? The two guys that host American Ninja Warrior were there.
He came on here. Yeah, the host of...
I just recently rewatched the Josh Arnold doing the American
Ninja
Warrior course. Please take time and find that. Go to the Bob and Tom YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe. But watch that. It is so funny.
Yeah. Does he make it...
No spoilers.
Okay.
You got to watch the video.
Oh.
Totally worth your time.
Oh, poor Joshy. I can just hear him in the room. No, yeah, Josh, we're going to have you do American... Oh, okay.
He was a great sport.
Big chick just over there in the corner smiling.
It's fun?
It's... The video?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Why did that get so good?
I don't know. I was like, well, am I supposed to talk about the 500 still?
No, I was just saying it's fun. Oh my, it's so awkward. Okay, moving into our next thing.
Although I did make it a point my entire childhood growing up, not childhood, but I'm a liar now. I'm just an adulthood. I used to go to the red carpet to see the celebrities, and there's a few years where I'm in the background of every photo taken of a celebrity because they didn't put the step and repeat up, so just me being all weird. Like, what up, iced tea and cocoa? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
I can imagine that was weird. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm too caffeinated. Sorry.
No, you're great. You're perfect. Okay, this is our last bit. And finally, this is an international celebrity doing a live comedy bit on the air.
Time now for Flash Traffic with the fastest man in the world, 9-time Olympic gold medalist, Carl Lewis.
And now we go to our Flash Traffic reporter, Carl Lewis, with traffic on the west side.
Hey, Bob and Tom, I'm on the west side and traffic looks great. Now I'm going to run over to the far east side and take a look at traffic conditions over there. Okay, I'm on the east side now. Everything looks smooth over here. Want me to check the north side?
Sure, Carl.
All right, here we go. Oh, guys, traffic is running off fine up here up north. Anything else you need?
Listen, Carl, could you check south side traffic? I know it's a long way. You could also pick up an iced tea for me, venti green iced tea at Starbucks on your way, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's a little step, but I'll get there. Oh, my goodness, that was kind of a detour, but here, two splendids just like you like it.
Oh, thank you very much, Carl. Carl, could you come back to the studio to sign some photos for us?
Oh, okay, I can do that. Sure thing, Tom. Oh, made it. All right, give me a pen.
This has been Flash Traffic with Carl Lewis.
Does not get better than that.
That was fun. It really sounded like he was running around everywhere.
That's how he runs, right? I mean, it makes that sound.
Yeah.
Right? Here we go. Like,
yeah, the Warner Brothers sound.
Yeah.
With my musical background, Jess?
Yes.
Yeah, that was really, really silly. So that was live yep. on air.
Yep. There was obviously a music bed playing, and then I'm guessing Tom or Chick was firing the the little sound effect there. And he was in here. It happened in this room, I know.
And like scripts in hand, I'd imagine. Yeah, it's not a lot of improv going on.
There's one little hiccup in there I noticed, but it's no big deal. But how many of those do we have? None. I do remember something like maybe a soap opera star was in here. And
oh, really?
Yeah, there was
Susan
a soap.
Susan Lucci?
No.
It was Lucci? Help me out here.
The guy from Lucci? It was one of the CBS.
Say another two syllable.
Susan Liachi.
Yeah.
Someone tell me what the name is.
No one knows.
Susie.
He was the guy, and I think...
Chick knew because I think Chick watched his soap opera, right?
Yes.
Days of Our Lives?
They did some sort
Days of Our Lives?
No. It was
John Aniston.
It was CBS.
Bold and the Beautiful.
Mustache. We'll get back to you next
Tom
time.
Tom Selleck.
No.
He does have a mustache.
He does.
He's not on a soap opera.
I guarantee he made an appearance on one.
Yeah, I'd take that back.
Guarantee.
Along with Susan.
Wasn't Susan? Why would
she
Susan
finally got that
Lucci
daytime Emmy? Am I right? Gosh.
No, but somebody came to lunch with us once. Like it was on a soap opera, but it wasn't this guy. Victor. He played Victor in one of them, right? No.
Was it the one that Chick watched forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
The Bold and is it the Bold and the Beautiful?
What's the
I think
other
it
ones?
Is because no. Carol Burnett would reference that.
Which is the one that Joey and Friends was on? That was Days in Our Lives.
Days of Our
right?
Lives.
Days of Our
I
Lives.
Think, I don't think
but
it was
that
Days.
Was, but that
Eric
was...
Braden, the German American film actor.
I think that could have been him.
He was in...
He did a voiceover thing in the studio live. It was
oh,
kind
of
cool.
He is. He's one of the most famous... Oh, like,
and has a gorgeous
voice
deep
is,
voice.
Yes, his yes. voice is amazing.
The Young and the Restless.
The Young and the Restless.
Thank you.
I mean,
CBS,
he said every single one.
See, I was an ABC soap fan, so I was like...
So you're a Susan Lucci girl.
I was. Yep. All my children.
Why do I know these things?
Why didn't you chime in when I'm trying to guess her name 5 minutes ago?
General
you're
Hospital.
Like, oh, Susan Lucci, no big deal.
Oh, well, we it thought you were doing
her.
A bit.
Well, yeah. I was just asking what her last name was. Yeah, I really didn't know.
I was kind of playing off you there.
I thought you knew.
I was actually asking.
Well, 33 episodes in, we suck. Okay?
Hey,
we suck.
Hey.
I feel like this is the part of the show where we go, hey, you guys want to go get breakfast?
Right.
Like, is that what we do on the big show?
Hey, no. I mean, this was 50 minutes, and I'm sure there's at least 4 good minutes in here somewhere. You know?
So, Crazy Carl Lewis came in.
Yeah.
Was this recorded after he sang the national anthem?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think so, yeah.
Did they play that for him and ask him about it during the show?
I don't know, but that was Matt and I's favorite thing. Just the Uh-oh.
Like, you guys do it all the time. I lose it.
It's the best.
That is a thankless job doing because obviously you want to honor the troops. You want there to be that sort of what's it called? You want
dignity, respect.
Yes, the dignity of the respect, and you want to show. But if you mess up at all,
it's done.
You get ridiculed. Right. I mean, you turn into a meme like Fergie. I mean, it's a no-win situation.
You can't really put, it's not an avant-garde type situation.
No.
You sing the song and you move on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that he stopped to acknowledge.
That's the best thing he could have done.
They're like, well, he knew he messed up. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's so funny. I could think about that anywhere and lose it.
Who was the person that did it at the Super Bowl this year, the one played electric guitar? That was awesome. I was all about
that.
It was a woman, and she was like,
killing it, Willie. Go.
It was the coolest thing. I was just like, this rocks. Let's get it going.
I'm going to nominate Willie to do mouth guitar of the national anthem at next year's Super Bowl.
I think we're just going to have to start a third podcast of Willie doing all the hits.
Or it's just me and like I'm doing all the music. And then I'm talking. Oh, what'd you figure out there, Ollie?
I think it's her. H-E-R.
It is.
But she performed America the Beautiful.
Oh, got
which
it.
Is even more like,
all
oh,
right.
my God.
All right, Willie, let's hear it.
See, but like that's the thing though, is like I don't want to be doing this. I'm saying it's a bad thing because now I'm kind of being silly with it, and someone's gonna get in my DMs and be like, hey, you're being so rude. That is not a funny thing. We should be reverent during that. And I understand that. So I'm saying that I don't want to do that.
You're an expatriate.
Oh, okay, we're going back to Carl Lewis. I found just a little snippet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You ready? Here we go.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I mean, that poor guy. I mean, that is an ope. If you were listening last week when Pat Godwin and I did our cicada song and he messed up the finger picking, he did, let's call it a Pennsylvania uh-oh, is what he said. He went all the way. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's you don't want to mess up. Mm.
Well, I think we did some good work here.
I
apologize. No.
And Willie's got to go get his hair cut because we had to record it early.
Well,
you
got to get a haircut when you're going to see your grandma.
I am.
I think it's only appropriate you get like 31 or 18 shaved in the side of your head now. What they did in the 90s. Oh, I loved it. Or in the back of your head.
Could you imagine if I came in here tomorrow and I looked at my dad and I had like a fade with like 31 shaved into the side?
He would kick you out immediately.
Is that for Reggie? That's nice. I like Reggie Miller. No, if it was for Reggie, he'd be out for it.
Total respect.
Yeah, but
do it on the right side so he can look at it all morning.
Not my luck. Just this morning when I was all blanketed up in here, my dad just didn't look over so he didn't see that I was in a blanket. So when you made a joke about it, he did not understand it at all.
Yeah.
I looked like Mother Teresa, Jess.
He was like swaddling himself. Like, I'm so cold.
It was freezing cold. Yeah. But hey, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like it, review, subscribe, the whole thing. We'll see you next time.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.